Morning. Okay. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 11. You follow along with me. Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words, and it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad, and from there the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. These are the words, these are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and became the father of Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived 500 years after he became the father of Arpachshad, and he had other sons and daughters. And Arpachshad lived 35 years, and he became the father of Shelah. And Arpachshad lived 403 years after he became the father of Shelah, and he had other sons and daughters. And Shelah lived 30 years and became the father of Eber. And Shelah lived 403 years after he became the father of Eber, and he and other sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and became the father of Peleg. And Eber lived 430 years after he became the father of Peleg, and he had other sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and became the father of Reu. And Peleg lived 209 years and he became the father of Reu, and he had other sons and daughters. And Reu lived 32 years, became the father of Serug. And Reu lived 207 years and became the father of Serug, and he had other sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and became the father of Nahor, and Serug lived 200 years after he became the father of Nahor, and he had other sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and became the father of Terah, and Nahor lived 119 years after he became the father of Terah, and had other sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. These are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran became the father of Lot. And Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah and Iscah. And Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran and settled there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Amen. So we have in chapter 11, this is a, remember yesterday was going through the genealogy, so the genealogy went through, and now chapter 11 is one incident from the genealogies, and this would be related to Nimrod, if you remember from yesterday, and as they build the city of Nineveh, and then after this episode, we'll have the whole genealogy of Shem, which will start the whole process of the Hebrew people. Remember, I mentioned yesterday that Eber is actually the where they get the word Hebrew from, which is Shem's grandson. And so we see how this kind of is laid out. So let's talk about Nineveh here a little bit, or Babel in this regard. And it says, "Now at this time, the whole earth used the same language and the same words up at this stage. And as they journeyed east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there." And so this is Nimrod. He moves. This is the descendants of Ham. They find a place. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." Now, this is a new technology for them because previously they would have only built with stone. And so they are actually creating new ways to build. And seemingly through the narrative, they get so caught up with what they've created, what they were able to do with their own hands, and then they make this tower and they realize, oh, with this new technology or this new way of making bricks with mortar, and basically it would be our modern day version of cement, okay, tar, they're thinking, oh, we created something, and because they created something, now they feel like they're like God. And this is the real, temptation for us as humans living on earth. You think of, it's very good to create things, right? Our God is a creative God. That's why I'm really so excited, that we have a burgeoning arts ministry at church that can really reflect the creativity of God that's in our image. And so it's very good to create. It's wonderful to be able to express ourselves in the way that God created us in that way. But I think the folly comes in is when people start taking credit for themselves. You know what I mean? And so here in Babel, these guys create, and they're just like, wow, we're great. I mean, I'm drawing out from the narrative, right? They're not saying we're great, but they're doing that by building this tower, and they're saying this tower is going to reach to heaven. And we are so skilled, we are so creative, we are so all these things. And they take what God had given them in their image that to create and do these wonderful things, but now they allude this to themselves. Oh, it was by our strength. It was by our power. It was by our intellect or our creativity or any of these things. And that's always, always a problem. You know, you got to be very, very careful of this type of thinking. Again, it's wonderful to create. You know, one of my lifelong dreams, and I'm still working on it. I've been working on it for 15 years. But one of my lifelong dreams is to write a song. I want to write like an awesome worship song. But every time I try to write it, I end up just taking someone else's song. You know how that works? Like, I got these words, and I realize, oh, actually, Matt Redman wrote that, you know, or someone else. But that's really my heart, and I think that comes from God. It's the creative nature of the Lord. For a long time, because, you know, I can't draw. I'm really artistically not very good. I actually almost failed art class when I was in elementary school. I couldn't draw a circle. For the life of me, I could not draw this circle, and that was, like, the basic thing you had to do. And so I was quite discouraged about this. And I mean, you guys know I can't sing. I can't play any instruments. I'm one of only like two pastors that I know that don't play guitar, right? Of all the guys that I've met in my life. But I was really blessed. I was sitting in our meeting with our arts team, and everyone was talking about kind of what their specialty, illustration, graphic design and whatnot, and then one of the artists pointed out that my art are my words. My canvas is my words. I thought, oh, that was good. That was really good. I like that. So I am an artist in a certain way. But let me go back. So it's good to create, but the key is recognizing it's God who is creating through us. Do you know what I mean? It's God that is gifting us and using what he's put in us. And thus, all these arts and crafts and, craftsmanship, it was meant to honor and worship God in that way. And in that same way, now, we may not look at, in that context, art, but let me turn it a little bit and talk about our work. You know, our work is also that extension of the creativity of God in our lives. You know, not that you're an artist or doing something creative, but you're working out of what God has given to you, and you could very easily take all that stuff and say, God, wow, you gave me the intellect, the opportunity. You gave me the skill sets. You gave me the ability to learn and all these things and the opportunity to use it. And you can, you know, take in all these things and give God glory. Or you can say, well, I earned my degree and I worked my butt off in school. And I'm the one who had these connections. And I'm the one who interviewed for these jobs. And I'm the one who asked or answered those tough questions. And I'm the one that's busting this deal. Now, as Christians, you probably are smart enough not to say that out loud. You know what I mean? But how many of you guys say that in your hearts? I mean, really, this is like, it's kind of a huge issue in this regard. Because this is really, you know, I don't want to use such a strong word, but it's demonic in nature, in the sense that it doesn't mean that you're demonized or anything, but demonic meaning this is the heart of Satan. And that's really what he's wanted and what he's been after. He wants to take glory away from God in that regard. And so you have to be very, very careful. You know, I wonder, you know, human beings with our advanced technologies, our phones, and I think of like Apple products and things, and people treat Apple and treat Jobs like some kind of God, you know, and that's just scary, man. You know, it's just a phone, okay? It's just a tablet. It's just a computer. To put this kind of reverence to something made is a really, really scary thing. I'm not saying throw away your iPhones, you know, now or anything like that. But don't regard a created thing or even, you know, a building or something, a spaceship. And it's amazing how much human beings place so much awe that is really only reserved for God. You know, we're making these chips now that are so small that, you know, a 5 billion, you know, whatever can go onto this little pin of a needle and stuff. Big deal. It's just a pin of a needle. You know what I mean? Compared to what God has created. And that stuff comes out of God anyway. But for us to really glory in those things that are made are following the same sin that happens here in Babel. So they realize that if you put some, you know, straw, right, into some mud, and, you know, you can make a brick and then you can get tar. You know, I mean, it's like big deal. I mean, it was a big deal for them back then, and so they can make and create something. And so what do they say? Here's their pride. This is what really is coming up in their hearts. Let us build for ourselves a city. This is verse 4. And a tower whose top will reach into heaven. Let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over face of the whole earth. The key to understanding Babel here is actually the end of chapter 4. If you don't catch this thing, Babel will be confusing to you. Because this is the key. This is what the lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. What was God's mandate to Adam? What did God tell Adam to do? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Sorry, my voice. Wow. Just went through puberty, right? And fill the earth, okay? My voice is getting better. And so the idea was to go and everywhere and just fill the whole earth. And then that didn't stop with just Adam. Now the fall happened. And to Noah, he says the same thing. Be blessed them, his blessed sons, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And so they recognized, these guys, that they understood the mandate that they had was to go and fill the whole earth. And so understanding this, what they did is they turned against basically God's design for them. They turn against God's wishes, and his will for these people would be to go across the whole earth, in God's eyes, to fill the earth, and in that same way. And so, and then these guys are thinking, no, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. They are now stepping into the disobedience of God's plan for mankind. They want to huddle together and stay together and thus consolidate their power. They want to make a name, you know, and so it's all in the numbers. You know what I mean? It's all in the masses of people. It's all in how many people they can gather together and they can make a name for themselves and do all these things. And it's out of this pride. Just a moment to note. It's like our house churches, right? Our house churches, if you've been around in our house churches, one of the things that we always talk about is language is really, really important. And so I forbid, and you could ask our leaders, I forbid people to use the word split. Oh, our house church is splitting. No, your house church is not splitting. That sounds like a divorce. You're not divorcing. Your house is multiplying, right? You are filling the earth. You're not being scattered. Notice the language that they use. We're being scattered. We're losing our numbers in this way. And God says, no, you are filling the earth in this regard. You know, house churches that don't want to multiply, you guys are like Babel, right? You guys are sitting in this place, and you just want to be us four no more, this cozy thing, and you don't want to really be a blessing that we're supposed to be, you know, all over Hong Kong, right? I know who you are, right? So let the Holy Spirit speak to you, man, right? Don't be a Babel. And so this is happening, and these guys, they're unwilling to carry out the mandate of God. Not only is it their pride that's really informing all these things, but their pride will lead to disobedience. And so this is precisely what happens. And they disobey God, and they're trying to consolidate their power and stay together. But God's will was to go and fill the earth, was always to go, right? Was always to be a blessing, was always to, take what God's given to us and go and share that with somebody else in this regard. But they choose not to. And so it says, now this is just a narrative, okay, in verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, there are one people, they have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So come, let us, now he's talking about the Trinity here, let us go down and there confuse their language. They not understand one another's speech. Now, if you don't understand the whole idea of the broadness, you know, of filling the earth, you would just think that God is some kind of megalomaniac, you know. Oh, these guys are going to reach heaven. Well, they're never going to reach heaven, first of all. Okay, that's impossible. But this idea, you think that God is some egomaniac, but he's not. What he's doing is he's creating an atmosphere here where they would be spread abroad. He's creating, it's kind of the sense that if they're not going to do it on their own, then God's going to force his hand to create an event or create an environment by which they are going to go fill the earth. Now, let me make note of something. Now, think about this. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, and then fast forward a few thousand years later on, and we get to Acts chapter 2. So we have, in the beginning, one language, but used for evil, right? And now the language is confused. The word there, actually, their speech he actually didn't confuse their speech. He touched their lips. And so something happened with the lips, and they couldn't understand each other after that. And it's if you you know talk to a linguist that you know I used to have a speech impediment when I was young, when I was growing up, and so I had to go to a remedial class. I really felt stupid. I think I was in second grade. This was when I was living in Chicago, and I had a lisp, believe it or not. And so, you know, my name back then, my name was Sammy. They used to call me that. And so whenever I talk, I'd say, my name is Themi Thong, right? I mean, can you imagine what it's like? And so I had to go to a speech class. And it was really traumatizing for a long time. It's your tongue, your lip, right? It's just a little, and that's exactly what God does. And it's not necessarily, he changes their whole speech, but he touches their mouth and he makes them unrecognizable to one another. And this is where really dialects begin to come in this regard. And so, if you think about in that context, right? Here you have, again, one language that now gets confused because God touches their lips, and out of that, many languages come out, and they go abroad. They go and fill the earth. Now you fast forward to Acts, where God comes at Pentecost, and there's many languages, and he touches people's lips. And again, there are many languages, but really it's one universal language in this regard, and it's used, again, to go and scatter and to fill the earth abroad now with the gospel. And we see that really, if we think about this, Pentecost, in a lot of ways, is really a reversal of Babel. This is what God is doing to, in one ways, unite the people of God through one language. I mean, it's operated in many different ways, but through one language to empower people, which is really this is the beginning. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you think about tongues in the modern day. That doesn't really run into this equation. We're talking about the early church. In the early church, it was brought to unite the people and to share the gospel all throughout the face of the earth. And so we see a turning in a way, very much very similar to what we saw in the beginning of Genesis when the curse happened. And I mentioned that's actually Paul write that about Ephesians and how he reverses the curse. In some way, the universal language is Babel actually is turned or reversed when we get to Pentecost, and we see how this is happening. And so eventually the Lord scatters them abroad to the whole earth. Now, another situation happened in the book of Acts as well. If you remember, now Pentecost happens, thousands are getting saved, and now the early church also wants to stay together, right? Us four and not necessarily no more, because there's so many being added to the number. And what does God do to have the disciples go and fill the earth with the gospel now? What does he bring? Persecution. Isn't that interesting? Right? And so, in other words, the mandate was to go. Remember, that's what Jesus said. And so now, if we're talking about new covenant, and you want to go through this whole thing, and so in Genesis 20, chapter 28, he says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and so on and so forth, and he's going to obey all that I've observed." And he goes on, and then in Acts 1, he tells them again, "Go." And, you know, from Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so that was, again, the mandate to fill the earth, not just with population, but now with gospel. And so, but they wanted to stay in Jerusalem, the leaders, the apostles and whatnot. And then persecution strikes the early church, and they are scattered. And the message goes everywhere. Thomas goes to India. Right, we see one of the other brothers goes out to Europe. These guys are scattered all over the place. You know, they're filling the earth now, and God brings persecution in Jerusalem to bring about the mandate, you know, or His will to be accomplished. Now, obviously, persecution is not a good thing, but it does something. Right, you know, it's the seed. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and God is manifesting. When we look at it on earth, it could seem unfair, but we're talking about through the lens of eternity, and it's a whole nother ballgame in that way. And so now they're scattered, and so the whole part is coming together, and you can see the fullness of that as you go through now the genealogy of Shem, which will take us to Abram. In chapter 12, we don't have to go through the genealogy so much, but something to note, and I mentioned this a little while back before, that remember when Adam sinned and he said, from the moment you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Now, they didn't die physically, but what happened was that sin now began to infiltrate the earth. And so sin is kind of steamrolling along, and as years and generations pass, the effect of sin is really getting greater and greater, and you can see that through people's lifespans. Notice in the beginning of the descendants of Shem, they live 500, 600 years, 400 years, and they start living 300 years, and it goes down, they start living 200 years. You know, and you can see how the effect of sin, which is the byproduct of sin, is death, disease, you know, all kinds of infirmities and whatnot. And you can see how the manifestation of sin on earth begins to make its toil, and now lifespans begin to be decrease and decrease and decrease. And now, you know, we get to the span of 2014, what an average male on the earth. I mean, it all depends on where you live, but I think in Hong Kong, the average male can expect to live around 70-some years, and the average female about 80-some years. You know, I mean, you can Google it later, not now, okay? And you can figure that out. But it's interesting how that works, and it's just the effect of sin that continues to come into this world. Amen? So let's close our eyes a bit. Let's meditate and let's think upon Babel. And going back to something I talked about way in the beginning, honestly, honestly, in your heart, all the stuff that you have, your work, your possessions, are you glorying in your own ability? Are you glorying, wow, I did this, or, you know, maybe even the last promotion that you got, maybe even the wise investments that you made? Are you glorying in your own abilities? Now, you should be glad and happy. You know, those are all good things. But are you giving credit to God? Or honestly, in your heart, the credit belongs to you? You know, these guys, they made some bricks. They were able to put some things together. And next thing you know, man, it's all about me, myself, and I. This is not like generations removed from the flood. I mean, this is like two generations removed from the flood. That's crazy. And they start glorying in themselves out of some simple invention that they had. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Use this illustration of Babel to remind us once again that everything that we have comes from God. Be it material or immaterial, talking about like our intellect or our opportunities, all this stuff comes from the Lord. And so let Holy Spirit speak to you today. To really, in our heart today, to recognize God as owner, creator, initiator, abider. As far as the east is from the west, Let's pray this morning, and let's just really thank God for all that He's blessed us with. Let's thank the Lord for all His provisions, all the opportunities that He's given to us, and all the skills that we have been able to receive. That's the first part, is thanksgiving. The second part is to use it for His glory. Use it to be a blessing to others. Your position, your title, your wealth, your influence, all these things that are God-given, right, back to Him in service to others. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray over our church family that are battling cancer and in need of transplants. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit to meet and minister to them in a powerful way. And let's lift them up. Let's pray for God's healing hand. Let's pray for our community that's in need of healing as well as salvation. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our friends' non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's pray that God would provide for them during their time right now. Let's pray over our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to lead and guide the fellowship, and pray for Sam and Chris and their families and Mary. Let's pray for Leanne as well in Beijing as she continues to, God continues to bless her with her work there. Let's pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas, Edie Clark, the kids in Chichihar, and the churches. And let's just continue to intercede for China and for God's purposes to be established there. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray for everyone, their health. Let's pray for their heart, that they would just run hard after the Lord in all that they're doing. Pray that they would work well serving God. Let's lift them up. Thank you. Let's pray over our worship team and our AV team. Pray for a real heart of worship and serving before the Lord. Let's pray that when we come into that place of worship, that they would just really be so anointed that they just lead us into the presence of God. Let's just pray for our worship times and our leaders. Amen. House churches start this week. Let's pray for Robinson West, Kennedy, Old Peak Road, Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, and Sha Tin. Let's pray for God's hand to be with our leaders and our house churches, and people will get excited to start back again, and community will continue to be built, and real significant ministries will take place. So let's lift up these house churches. Let's go to our individual prayers and let's pray for Rachel today. Let's pray for her family salvation, protection against lies, that God will reveal His truth. They'll have eyes to see Him and hearts softened to receive Him. Pray for Constance, says she's fighting for her life. God restore her full health so she can get out of hospital forever and to have her revelation of what God is saying and doing. Pray for a wedding and relationship with Matt, the joy, love, peace, protection, and his blessings, and deeper intimacy with God and wisdom for 2014, any transitions in our life. Let's pray for Rachel. Next slide. Let's pray for Becky. I pray for a final good report in 4 weeks about the radiation for cancer for her father Roger and salvation for Mother Mary. Let's pray for Becky. Let's pray for Eva. Pray for favor, strength, and wisdom in workplace and learn what I need to do at work in the Zion community here. Pray for spiritual covering during the time of intimacy with the Lord, transformation within family and unsaved family members, direction, revelation from the Lord on plans and schedule in 014, and undivided attention and seeking the things of His kingdom. Let's pray for Eva. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Yeah, we thank you this morning for the reminder, God, to be mindful, Lord, that everything we have, Lord, comes from you. God, materially, God, our intellect, our opportunities, our work, our families, and help us, Lord, not to glory in those things ourselves, God, but to give you the glory and thanksgiving, God, and then to deploy those things, Lord, to bless others, God. Lord, help us to do that today, God. Lord, release these opportunities in our lives. We thank you for that, God. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great time of prayer. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And stay warm. It's getting colder.